Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. This is the 25th episode, and we are recording this starting at 11:32 p.m. Wednesday night, after a big Dubs win, closed the series out, on to the next series. But before we move on, actually, I would like to say congratulations to the Denver Nuggets on an incredible series, an incredible year. That's a very good ball club, missing two of their top three or four players, depending on how you want to look at it. So got to take your hats off to them. All of those guys played well. Nikola Jokic, let's start there. Let's just start there. Pay the big man some respect. Give him the respect he's due. Absolutely incredible player. Five games. I'm happy it was only five games. I wish it could have been four. Could have saved me a few bumps and bruises. But, man, he is absolutely incredible. I mean, he takes advantage of every little slight wrong movement you make. And it is absolutely astonishing. I mean, his touch around the rim. If he gets the ball on the rim and it doesn't go in, I'm shocked, because he has such incredible touch. It just bounces around the rim and it goes in. I mean, extremely incredible player. I think ultimately we were able to get him in foul trouble this game. It's funny, because when he took the first foul, I was looking like, I wonder if we're going to be able to get him in foul trouble. And then, sure enough, a second foul came shortly after that. There was a third and a fourth, and he had to come out of the game. And I think, you know, for us, we were able to take advantage of that. Now, it didn't show up in the lead, per se, but we were able to get the game at our pace once he went out the game. You got to give a lot of credit to DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins played an incredible game, actually an incredible series. He was a huge problem for us this series. And, you know, for a guy who's been through so much, for a guy who spent significant time this year not even on the roster, teams will be absolutely crazy if he's not on the roster going into next year. Because if you think DeMarcus Cousins can't help your team win, he helped them win game four and almost carried them to a game five win. And so absolutely incredible. I have so much respect and love for DeMarcus and the journey that he's been on and the fact that he has not given up. So my hope for DeMarcus is that teams can see past who he used to be, see the maturity in who he is, and more importantly, see the impact that he's had, that he has when he's on the court. You know, funny thing, I saw DeMarcus after game four, and I said, we keep putting you in pick and rolls, but I don't understand it because you actually guard the pick and roll really well. And that was one thing that I actually noticed when he came to play with us, was that a lot of people try to put him in pick and rolls as if he's a liability, and he's actually not at all. He gets up on the screen. He has incredible hands to get into the passing lanes if you're trying to throw that pocket pass. I mean, really, really, really good in the pick and roll, which we ended up going away from it, putting him in it a little bit tonight. And then obviously once Steph got going, it don't matter who you put in it, we're going to Steph. And so kudos to DeMarcus, hats off to him, and how he played this series was a really, really, really tough matchup for us. But like I said, we got it done. A couple things I want to talk about. Number one is the lineup change. You know, that lineup has been the talk of the playoffs for us at least. And we started with it tonight. Like, you know, like we've been saying, Steph Curry's been great off the bench, but you know, once the minute restriction is gone, you don't keep Steph Curry on the bench. You get Steph Curry back into the starting lineup. And Jordan Poole has been playing incredibly well. And so we thought we wanted to start with that lineup, and we actually got off to a pretty decent start. I think the change came once I picked up the early foul, because now I have to guard Joker. And with one early foul, just can't really be as aggressive because I understood how important it was for me to stay on the floor. But definitely started with that lineup. Thought we got off to a pretty good start. But Looney played really big minutes tonight, as he has all year. As you know, he's 82 game Loon. Got a shout out. The boy been through, what, three hip surgeries, I think, all types of issues, and has gotten his body to the point where it could take 82 games plus some more. Absolutely incredible. And Loon was huge for us in this series. So shout out to Loon. Keep going, big dog. Love and appreciate your journey, but also more importantly, the great teammate that you are. And you know, one thing I think people don't understand about Looney is if you paid attention at all to the quotes of this series, one of the quotes from the Denver Nuggets coach Mike Malone was that Draymond's not guarding anyone. He's just a free safety out there. And I know some people saw that and took it as disrespect. Like, what? Like, what do you mean he's not guarding anyone? I didn't take it as disrespect, and I took it the way I thought he meant it, which was a compliment. And what he's saying is kind of, this guy is just roaming around, mucking up things, messing up our offense. And when Looney is on the floor, it really opens the door for me to do that. It really opens the floor for me to roam, muck some stuff up, take teams out of what they're trying to get to. Because Loon, he knows how to read just the random stuff that I do on the defensive end at times, and he'll cover for me. And so Loon has been absolutely incredible, and is one guy that I love to play next to, because he'll cover up all the things that I may leave open when I go take a risk. And I think that's an important part of our defense. The Nuggets in this game continuing to be super physical in their battle. They completely destroyed us on the boards. Now, we cleaned that up there in the fourth quarter, I'm sorry. But I don't know what the final tally was, but they absolutely annihilated us on the boards. And even if we were able to pull the tally closer, that's not indicative of what they did the entire game on the board. So you got to give them credit there. And that's what teams are going to try to do, right? They're going to try to be physical. They're going to try to beat us up on the offensive glass, because they know their best bet is to go for the offensive boards, because once we get out in transition, we have so many weapons and we're pushing the floor and pushing the ball, and that's what really opens up the floor for us. So I understand it, but, you know, we were able to pull it back, dial some of their rebounding back there in that fourth quarter, and we got out and we ran and we took advantage of cross matches, and we're able to get it back to the brand of basketball that you saw through games one through three, and some in that second half in game four as well. So we knew we needed to do that in order to win the game, and we were able to get back to that. Gary Payton was absolutely incredible. Number one, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, I'm probably wrong on this, but it looked like deja vu. Ben Simmons last year passed up a layup, and everybody got mad at him. However, there was a guy rotating across to block the shot. And so, very similar possession today. Klay dropped the ball down to me, and I kicked it out to Gary Payton. However, I think it was on the, I think it was flip-flop maybe, the sides and what Ben's was and what ours were. But Jeff Green 100% was about to send that shot to the third row. I mean, I caught it. I turned. By the time I turned, he's already loading up to block the shot, and I kicked it out to GP. More importantly, I trust that GP can make that shot. Now, it was such a terrible pass, so he had no chance at even shooting it anyway. The ball was on a nosedive right to the ground. It was actually an incredible catch by him. Then he swung it to Wiggs. Wiggs drove, and Wiggs actually threw him another terrible pass that went nosediving into the ground. He got it. He kept his poise, and he knocked it down. Good friend of mine, the media, Marcus Thompson, texted me. And he said, GP might be like you. He'd just make all the big ones and all the big shots. And I got to give him his credit. He hit the shot, the three that put us up 86-84 when we took the lead. And then he knocked it down and put the dagger in and sent those boys back, sent those boys to Cancun. Got to give GP a lot of credit. Also got to give Gemma a lot of credit. Gemma, I don't know how to pronounce Gemma's last name, but you can look it up. Gemma is a coach on our staff, came over from Toronto. Absolutely incredible coach. Runs the player development side of things, and he's working with GP on his shot every single day. And it paid off. I mean, two huge threes. But not only that, dives, finishing at the bucket, and then what he did on the defensive end. Absolutely incredible. He gets a bunch of deflections, mucks things up, rebounds well. GP was all over the place for us tonight, and a huge part. We're sitting here looking forward to who we play the next series. And the last thing I'll say about our game was Steph Curry was absolutely incredible. Took over the second half, got every matchup he wanted. And you know what I loved most is he got the three going, but then he said, forget the three. I'm going to go to the hole every single time. And he started getting to the cup, and that put the game away. And, I mean, it was absolutely incredible. It's, you know, I've been seeing the banter of, you know, clowns talking about, oh, Steph Curry doesn't show up in big games and blah, 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 blah. Like, shut up. That don't even make sense. But nonetheless, number 30 went back into the lineup, and he carried us home, and it was absolutely incredible. And one more thing I need to point out, Klay Thompson, 9 rebounds. See, what y'all need to understand is we used to be on Klay Thompson. He'd come out with 1 rebound, 2 rebounds. Like, Klay, you got a rebound. You got a rebound. And now, for him, I was the one with 2 rebounds. and Klay was the guy with 9 rebounds. And it was absolutely incredible to see, especially with us being small. We need guys coming back in and cleaning up those rebounds. And Klay was absolutely incredible. And, you know, that was one of the keys for us. And that was one of the things we had to improve throughout the course of the game to actually get to a space of where we could take over the game and eventually come out on top, putting that series away and moving on to the next one.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Incredible games yesterday. I enjoyed them. Always try to enjoy the games on the off days. Minnesota, Memphis. Minnesota is up 4-1, and yet they're down 3-2. I mean, it's absolutely incredible how those guys have put themselves in position where they should have already won 4 out of 5 games, and somehow they've managed to only win 2 of them. I mean, It seems to go wrong every time Kyle Towns say something on the mic or he tell people to shut up or wait. I mean, at some point, you probably just should be yourself because it just don't, like, it hasn't been going right for him when he does that. And I've never known Carl Towns to be such a big talker. And this year, especially as of last few months, it's been a lot of that. And when you talk like that, you got to back that up. And Memphis ain't hearing it. They like, oh, he talking? The way it feels to me is they're like, oh, he's talking? All right, turn it up. That's just how it ends up looking on the TV screen. Now, obviously, it's not that. I was watching that game. I was very shocked down the stretch that they put Dylan Brooks on him, and he caught the ball outside of the free throw line every time, and they was running like some high post split. He has Dylan Brooks on him. He made his name scoring in the post, not shooting threes, not up on, out on the floor. I couldn't believe they didn't put him down, especially with the game going haywire. Like, when the game going haywire, what do? You want to get to the free throw line to calm the game down. Well, how do you get that? You put the pound the ball inside or you go to the hole? And they didn't do either. I was extremely shocked by that. And then Ant-Man, when you say stuff, you got to back that up, Ant-Man. And you come out last week and say I'm the best defender in the NBA, and then you give a guy who hadn't shown much confidence in his shot throughout the night, who we know gets to the cup and is finishing with the best of them or the best, and you gamble and give him a straight line drive with 3 seconds to go. If you come up and you guard him with 3 seconds to go, he get one move, and then he got to look for a shot. And to gamble for the steal, I didn't understand that. I was very shocked by it. But that's been indicative of the things that they've done all series long in Minnesota. And the reason they're down 3-2, and they probably should have already taken the series 4-1. But nonetheless, I will be locked into that game on Friday, seeing if we will be headed to Memphis on Saturday. Or will we be chilling on Saturday and gearing up to either play at home and stay home on Monday and get ready for Tuesday's game? Or if we're headed to Memphis on Saturday. So I'm extremely excited as a basketball fan to watch that game, but even more importantly, as a Golden State Warrior and finding out who we have next up. So we'll see. And then the Suns and Pelicans. Incredible game. I thought with that game, CP takes over a game, and now your game plan is to take CP out. You can't let Mikal Bridges go for 31 points, and you're trying to win on the road. It's nearly impossible for a team to win on the road. And Mikal Bridges is an incredible player. I love Mikal Bridges. I think he's absolutely amazing on both. He's amazing on the defense side of the ball, and he's very good on the offensive side of the ball. And so he did what he's supposed to do. But if you're New Orleans and you're going in there and you're saying we got to beat these guys, number one, you got to take Chris Paul out the game. We all know that. But number two, you can't let other guys go for 30. And so looking forward to that game as well. I've enjoyed watching the young Pelicans team, a brand new team. They're putting it together. Willie Green's doing an incredible job. So this game six for them will be interesting. We'll see how it turns out. I think Chris Paul goes into Chris Paul mode and goes to New Orleans and close those guys out. But Brandon Ingram might have something to say. And Brandon Ingram's been playing incredible. And if CJ gets off like CJ can get off, that game may be headed back to Phoenix for a game seven. And no one wants to go for a game seven. I don't care who you're playing. It's a coin flip.
Talking about as a fan, have you ever seen, and I'm not trying to be exaggerated, have you ever seen a playoff dunk as good as John Morant's dunk?
That dunk.
That's one of the best dunks I've ever seen. Never mind in the playoffs at a big moment like that.
That dunk was absolutely incredible. I can't recall, and I'm sure there are some out there that I'm just not thinking of, but it was absolutely amazing dunk. I don't like to get into it was the best dunk of all time. It was the best playoff dunk of all time. It was an incredible dunk. He punched on him, and what we do know is that wasn't the first time Josh tried, and it won't be the last time that he tried, but he finished him. And plays like that changes games. You know, it truly changes the momentum and tone of games. And I think Josh did last night. I thought, just that aggression, and you put a guy down like that and in the rim, I mean, that's a momentum booster. And like I said, we all know Ja's going to try that, but I don't get off into like, oh, it's the best one ever. Like, there's incredible dunks during the playoffs, but that was amazing. So if you follow me on Instagram, you may have noticed that last night I reposted something from Clutch Points, and I had a little something to say. And it was Bill Simmons saying, F Jalen Green, I'm not putting him on. Like, for him to utter the words F someone out of his mouth lets you know that there's a little bit of hostility there somewhere. The fact that that guy has a vote, and that guy who just said F Jalen Green will ultimately have a say if Jalen Green can sign a Supermax deal from the Houston Rockets or not. Like, at some point, and I'm going to say this again, at some point we have to start viewing athletes, NBA players in particular, as businessmen, as guys who understand the business they're in, and stop allowing guys like that to decide the money we make. What work has Bill Simmons done in his life to decide the amount of money that Draymond Green can make? The amount of money, or have say in how much I can make, or say in how much Jason Tatum makes, a guy who didn't make all NBA and lost $40 million. A say in how much Jalen Green will make, the guy that he just said F you. At some point, the NBA has to stop this. You have to change it. Like, it's one of those old, outdated things that's like, all right, it's something you used to do. Stop being lazy. Change that. LeBron James has 4 MVP awards because someone likes that vote for it, and he get tired of seeing LeBron dominate. You can't tell me LeBron James should only have four MVP awards. That's another one. These guys are literally deciding what happens with a guy's resume. What happens with a guy's pocketbook? They are human beings. I don't like Bill Simmons. I'm sure Bill Simmons probably don't like me. And that's okay. He don't have to like me. I don't have to like him. You go on your little platform and you talk all you want. But for him to have a say in how much money me or how much money myself or other guys that play in this league can make, that's utterly ridiculous. And at some point now, this summer, the NBA needs to change it. Stop being lazy. Like I said before, put a committee together that can vote on these awards. Maybe players have say. You changed the All-Star voting when Zaza Pachulia almost made All-Star. You changed the way that works. Stop being lazy. There's absolutely no reason why a guy who can fix his lips to say F him should have say in how much money he makes. Why? Why is that? What we do know is guys in this league make a lot of money, bunch of money. Not doubting that. Do you think that may not bother some of these guys who may put in more time? And think like, well, they're making this now. You think like, again, these are human beings we're talking about that have actual feelings. This isn't a robot like, oh, well, this robot watched 82 games and he ultimately decided that who he saw looking the best, that's who he went with. These aren't robots. These are human beings that have real feelings that may not like a guy and he get to decide how much money somebody made. Man, please. At some point, the NBA has to stop looking at us like we're idiots, value what we do, and stop allowing people that just, you know, maybe start writing columns and work their way up to decide ultimately how much money we make with all that we put our bodies through. That's how you're going to decide, oh, man, this guy can make $190 million as opposed to $140. That's how we're going to decide it? Come on now. It's utterly ridiculous. And at some point, like now, it needs to be changed. It has to be changed. Can't keep going for the old okey-doke. That's an old system, and it's time for it to go. And before we get out of here, as promised, we're going to do a few mailbag questions. Jackson is going to read off the questions and who they're from. I will be answering these questions and trying to give you a little insight on what you want to know. Jackson, talk to me.
From Ali Castillo at I Am Ali Cass. From your POV as an elite defender, what do you think is the most effective pick and roll coverage?
I think for me and from my point of view, it's all based on the personalities within the coverage. Now, not that. So I'll use an example from this series games. Not that if Monte Morris is in the coverage and Joker, as opposed to Bones Highland and Joker, you're going to make the coverage to stop the problem. Who, like, which guy in that situation is more of a threat? Obviously, it's Joker. Monte Morris played incredible, but it's Joker. Like, you want to take Joker out. And so, based upon his tendencies and what he likes and where he gets off at, then that's your coverage and that's the one in that situation that ultimately you're going to go with. Now, in saying that, I personally think the best pick and roll coverage, regardless of what the actual coverage is that big man has to be up to the level of the screen. You get guys sitting back. We see it a lot with Rudy Gobert and teams take advantage of it. You get guys sitting back in the lane and not up at the level of the screen. And guys are just, guards in this league are just way too good to come off with that much vision and that much space and shoot the ball too well and to be down the floor. So regardless of what pick and roll coverage you're in, I think it's very important for the big man to be up at the level of the screen. And that simply just means, if my man is setting a ball screen on Clay, I need to be up at the same level that my man is setting that ball screen in order to stop that guy from turning the corner and take care of the initial problem right at the point of attack.
From, I don't know how to pronounce this, from MaxinOut_JP at JustinPowell510. Who did you watch growing up or even now to build your basketball IQ?
I watched a bunch of basketball, not just NBA basketball either. I watched college basketball. I watched WNBA basketball, like women's college basketball. I watched high school basketball. I watched little kids play. I just watch a bunch of basketball. My IQ is a gift from God that I enhanced over the course of my life. And it started with my Uncle Benny. My Uncle Benny is a mastermind when it comes to the game of basketball. Dudes still tell me different stuff today to help me out. And he's never coached past the elementary school level. But that is his passion. He actually loved to teach kids the game of basketball. So for me, my IQ started way back then because he never just rolled the ball out to us and said, all right, let's go play basketball. Like, we would go 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of practice and not touch a basketball, doing help side defense drills and different stuff like that. And so I learned defense at a very young age. I learned help side at a very young age. And then it was about having great coaches and enhancing that as my career went on. But to build an IQ, you have to be a fan of the game. You have to watch a bunch of basketball. You have to play a bunch of basketball to get those live reads. And then, like I said, most importantly, you know, I think that's one of my gifts.
I promise I did not write this next question. Okay. From Jackson Sequist at Jackson Sequist, do you think Tatum has surpassed or is close to Luka in terms of overall impact due to his leap on the defensive end?
Jackson changed his last name, y'all. He wanted to get a question off. He didn't want to.
I didn't write it, I swear.
And this is a Boston question. Come on now. Like, we all know it's you, Jackson. Come on, man. But Jackson, I'll answer your question.
All right, let's hear it.
Do I think Tatum has surpassed Luka in terms of overall impact because of his leap on the defensive end? Who said Luka was in front of Tatum to begin with?
Jackson Sequist did, apparently. I would have agreed before Tatum has locked up KD like this and before Tatum averaged 7.5 assists per game this last series. Luka is the man.
Luka is absolutely incredible. I just was asking a question like who said that? But no, Luka's absolutely incredible. And his impact on any game he's in is... JT, has he passed him? I don't know. I don't really get into the whole comparing guys. They're two totally different players. They play two totally different roles on their team outside of just being the main scoring threat. I thought JT took a huge leap in this series for sure. With the way he defended and with the way he passed the ball, he didn't settle for many bad shots. Mm-hmm. I thought he definitely took a leap in terms of his growth. But that's also the same leap that I saw coming and playing USA basketball with him. So I'm not surprised by that leap at all. He's been absolutely incredible. And he's been, you know, he's continuing to get older. Like I said before, we've been watching these young guys since they were 19 coming into the NBA, making it into the Eastern Conference Finals, and then expecting that every year. And the reality is they're just going through their progression and getting better as they age. And now I think JT's, 24 years old? He's starting to put it all together. And so I'm not surprised by that leap at all, because one thing I knew is if he commits his mind on a defensive end, with the way he can move and with his length, he's going to be an incredible defender. And he's starting to show that now, and it's making a huge difference in their team.
Last one, and again, as I'm going to say every episode, submit these questions on Twitter, hashtag The Draymond Green Show. That's where I'm going to pull the questions from every episode. Last one for today, from Caleb Bennett at Bennett Brawler. Excluding the finals, what was your favorite playoff series that you've been a part of and why?
Caleb, I have to be honest with you. There's nothing that compared to the NBA finals, but... My absolute favorite playoff series was when we beat the Houston Rockets. And the year before, KD went out of the lineup. And they were like, oh. I mean, the year before, Chris Paul went out of the lineup. And they're like, oh, well, we missed Chris Paul. That's why we lost. Running back. We're built to beat the Warriors. Blah, blah, blah. And then next year, KD gets hurt. And they still lose. And that, for me, was one of my absolute playoff series, because for them to be so outspoken about, we built this team all year. we built this team literally just to beat the Warriors. They get the opportunity. We lose one of our top players, and they still go on to lose the series. Y'all told us last year when Chris Paul went out, that's why y'all lost. Well, we're not making that same excuse. And then they blew it up. You know, to see a team built to beat you and then it get blown up clearly didn't work. So that was my favorite series by far, just because they were so outspoken about it, couldn't actually do it. And then, all right, let's get Clint Capella out of here. And that was the first domino to fall, and every other one fell after that. And now the Houston Rockets are 19-20-62, so whatever they are. That all started with that series. So, yeah, that's my favorite one, Caleb. That'll be the end of the 25th episode of the Draymond Green Show. We'll see what happens and how this weekend plays out. But you make sure you pay attention, because I'll be locked in. Until next week, that's a wrap from the Draymond Green Show. Peace.
Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.